And so, Brother Tony, would you pull up the question of today? I actually started typing it while I was there this morning. And so the question this morning is, how can the church be a message of hope to others? I had a lot of other things added there, but just real quick, talk to the person next to you. Just in the midst of life circumstances, this season, this holiday season, in preparation for Christmas, how can the church be a message of hope to others? Talk about it for a moment. All right, I'm sure you all are probably continuing to discuss or even think or ponder on the question. Those who are online, of course, you always have the privilege of typing in your thoughts there as well, and also prayers, and know that they will indeed be read. And so our text this morning will be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. That'll be our text for this morning. It's a lot of ones there. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And when you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Once I get enough amens, I'll start reading.
Amen.
All right, all right. All right, and it reads, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what the Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? No, those who are dressed or wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it was written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I will tell you the truth. Among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for allowing us this day to come before your word. Father, we pray that as you speak, you will indeed give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning. And Father, we thank you for this day, for what it means, what it symbolizes, and then also, Lord, the joy and the hope you indeed bring to us. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So before we get to our text this morning, I typically like to start off with kind of a phrase, sermon title, kind of the point of the message, bless you, the point of the message, if you will, this morning. And so if you're so willing, would you tell the person next to you, today's message is hope in the midst of troubled times. Hope in the midst of troubled times. Now, I don't know about you all, but there's a lot of troubled times. Whether it's today, whether it's before, whether those days to come, each and every one of us at some point has had to deal with troubled times. Whether in our own life, or whether we know that in terms of the life of others that we are around, that at some level, however one wants to frame it, troubled times are amongst us. Not troubled times just in the sense that there is calamity and all those various things going on, but just things within our own lives oftentimes cause us trouble. There's often things in life that happens that are indeed out of our control. And oftentimes in life, we wonder, what do we do in the midst of those troubled times? Do we have hope of things getting better? Do we lose faith? Do we doubt? Do we stop trusting that the Lord is indeed in the midst of our troubled times? Right? I know we are indeed anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I know that this is an anticipation of the time in which the Messiah came, and as the people were anticipating the Messiah to come. And you would imagine this would be a joyous time. But even in the midst of our text, even though the text doesn't say it, they're surrounded by troubled times. Jesus himself is surrounded by troubled times. That in the midst of his ministry on earth, he's now going to be facing increased opposition. The disciples being with Jesus will indeed begin to face opposition. John the Baptist, whom in the text we see, he finds himself in prison in the midst of opposition, in the midst of troubled times. And so in the midst of those times, do we have hope that God is near? Do we have hope that things are indeed going to get better? You all heard this morning just the many prayer requests that we had, many things that I'm sure that are upon your hearts. And you can imagine, people are going through difficult times. And I'm sure just that question this morning, how can we as God's people, how can we as his disciples, how can we as his daughters and sons be a message of hope to others? Those who believe and those who do not believe. Because I think the misconception oftentimes is that those within the church don't need hope. That they have it. They have hope. They know who Jesus Christ is. They know that which he has brought. They know that which he can do. But my sisters and brothers, this morning, there is moments in life where you do doubt. There is moments in life where you, in essence, lose hope. Hope of things getting better. I don't really want to bring many different references in, but I just think about Brother Job this morning. One calamity after the next. One thing after the other. And it just seems like he couldn't get a break of troubled times coming his way. But yet in the midst of it, he knew his Redeemer lived. Yes. Yes. And so I'm reminded of stories as Job this morning of having hope in troubled times. How can one have hope when things are not going the way in which they expected it to go? John the Baptist had expectations. He had expectations of the one in whom to come and what he would bring, that which he would do. John the Baptist questioned, "Are you the one?" It's not just a random question. This is a serious question from a heart that needs hope. Because in the midst of his situation, he's in prison. He needs hope. And this is not just any one. This is not just any person. This is the one whom God has sent to indeed prepare the way for the Lord, prepare the way for the Messiah. Church, this morning, can you imagine doing the Lord's business, doing that which God had called you to do, doing that which you know is right, and yet wondering, where is God? Has he abandoned me? Has he forgotten about his word? In terms of John's question, has he not yet sent the one in whom he said he would send? If you remember back in, I believe, in Matthew chapter 3, you can turn there real quick just to just get a sense of just John the Baptist preparation, preparing others for Jesus to come. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is the one whom have been spoken of through the mouth of the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths from him.'" And Pastor Steve preached on this last week, but I wanted to bring that in terms of context, in terms of here it is, John the Baptist has been the one in whom God had prophesied, prepared to prepare others for the coming of his son. And he did the work. We see it right here in chapter 3. John the Baptist has done the work. But yet, where is he? He's in prison. He's in jail. So what do you do? Lord, I did what you called me to do, but yet things don't seem to be getting better. And it almost seems the more that I did, the more that the right that I try to do, it seems that evil continues to be present with me. And then it goes on and says, John clothing, and we have his, I don't have to read all of the text there. And then we see that other people came to kind of question and wonder who John the Baptist is, right? And one of the things I love about John the Baptist is just his humility. That in the midst of being able to kind of put himself out there to boast and brag of all the things that God has done in and through him, he still, in the midst of it, realized that Jesus is before him. Although he came, in essence, behind him, after him, he indeed said, "He's before me. He must increase that I must decrease." Amazing that in the midst of, if you will, an opportunity to be boastful, an opportunity to receive all the glory for himself, he realized where the glory and honor is due. That Jesus is the one. Jesus indeed is the reason for the season. That this is why I came. This is why I'm here. This is my purpose in life. But church, keep in mind, there are some seasons in your life where you can be on fire for the Lord and understand your purpose. You can understand your calling. And then there's other seasons in life where you can begin to question. Was all that for nothing? Because John the Baptist is questioning and wondering while in prison, is this the one? I heard from heaven that he's the one, but while I'm in prison, now I'm questioning, are you the one to come? Because we have to be mindful too, some, depending on which gospel you read, it might say, this is my beloved son, or it might say, you are my beloved son. So as John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, a voice came from heaven. As Jesus came out of the water, a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Another one says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So I like to imagine that John the Baptist heard. He heard that Jesus is the one. But yet, now he finds himself in prison and wondering, are you the one to come? Or should we expect another? And I want you to really begin to think in John the Baptist situation, but yet in your own, have you ever been in moments in life where you took the time to think, is the Lord amongst us or not? Because you've heard all the things that he's done. You have witnessed to all the things he's done. Even in John the Baptist situation, you've touched him. You've witnessed to him. You've told others that this is the one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You've witnessed, you testified. But now, you're questioning, are you the one to come? Can you imagine and put yourself in John the Baptist's shoes? Because he's confined now. And I can imagine Herod at this particular time, which I believe is a strong message. I believe that Herod at this time would probably have thought that the word of God would stop. That that everything that God was doing in and through John the Baptist's ministry at this particular time would have stopped because he put John in prison. But Herod even himself was amazed because it didn't stop. The word of God did not stop going forth just because John the Baptist was in prison. Even in our own life, troubled times will indeed come. But might I say, the word of God will continue to go forth. Not just go forth because God is somehow not concerned with our situations. Jesus himself knew, if you look back at chapter 4, I believe verse 12, where it talked about, it's a little subtle message there, and it says, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist was put in prison, he went and returned to Galilee. So Jesus knew what John the Baptist's situation was. He heard exactly what happened, knew that John the Baptist was in troubled times, and at this particular moment, he withdrew to Galilee. And I'm sure at some level, we're not going to go there, but at some level, he probably withdrew to get some time alone because of the news he just received. But yet, in the midst of Jesus being who he is, his fame increasing, that he couldn't even get a time to grieve the death of his cousin. Not the death of his cousin just yet, but his cousin being in prison. And you can imagine being Jesus too. At some level, if John the Baptist is in prison, then I'm next. And then when John the Baptist get beheaded, can you imagine what that was like? I'm next. So here it is. We find John the Baptist where he is. And I wanted to bring that context in because I believe it's very important because, again, John the Baptist is not just in the place in which he's in because he's done something wrong. He wasn't perfect because only Jesus is perfect. But he stood for what was right. But yet, he's in prison. And he instructs his disciples at that particular time, and he says, I need you to go and find out, because in prison, what happened? And I hope this is a hopeful message. In prison, what happened? He heard about who? Jesus. The one in whom God sent him to prepare the way for, this is the one he's hearing about. He's hearing about, some of your translations, I believe, might say the works of Christ. He's heard about the works of Christ. I don't know about you, but there's times in when you are in the situations in which you're in, troubled times, and you're hearing about all the works of Christ. And you're wondering, wait a minute, Lord, here I am going through this situation and that situation, but yet I also hear that you're working things out for the good of someone else. But in this family, Lord, there's healing, there's deliverance. And I can only imagine that we question, what about mine? What about ours? He's hearing the works of the Lord. And I can imagine at some level, he's hopeful. I don't see John being bitter, but I can imagine it being a little, what about my situation? You send people free. You're raising the dead. You're healing. But Lord, I'm in chains. I'm shackled. What about me? Have you ever asked that question? Are you asking that question during this Christmas season? Lord, what about me? And where are you today? And as the disciples go and they seek and they do exactly what John wanted them to do, verse 3, it says, are you the one as we see to come, or should we expect another? And then verse 4, it says, Jesus replied. So word has reached Jesus. And at some level, in between the disciples going to do that which John the Baptist has sought them to do, they probably are witnessing to things that Jesus is doing, and then also are hearing things that Jesus is saying. So even though they come with their question, they also are witnessing what Jesus is doing. And so Jesus now is telling them, Jesus replied, go back and report. They've been sent. John Baptist sent them to report. But now Jesus is sending them back and says, go and report to John the Baptist, not just what you heard, but also what you see. Report to him that which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Now, if you flip back to Isaiah chapter 35 real briefly, and if you look at verses 5 through 6, you will see where this reference is coming from, and indeed what Jesus is bringing forth to John's disciples. So as Isaiah is prophesying and preparing the people's hearts and minds, Jesus is saying, are you seeing the signs? Are you seeing that which I'm doing? Because those things that I'm doing, the miracles, they're not just miracles for the sake of miracles, but they point to who I am. They point to that I am indeed the one. So whether you allow yourself to hear what I'm saying, see what I'm doing. See what I'm doing, because the signs point to who I am. In verse 5 and 6, it says, then the eyes of the blind are open, the ears of the deaf are unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shall shout for joy. These are signs that the one in whom God sent is here. So the wait is over. Tell your neighbor to wake up and say, the wait is over. Yeah. Tell them the wait is over. And I believe that's crucial, because it is. It's over. Because Jesus Christ has indeed come. And Jesus Christ is indeed coming again. So can you imagine John the Baptist now being, eventually receiving this news? He's here. He's the one. Can you imagine them going with heavy hearts, but returning with hearts that are rejoicing that he's here? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And we see this before Matthew, before chapter 11, we see the miracles of Jesus performing these various miracles. And then it says, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's found in Isaiah 61. So turn Isaiah 61 real quick, verses 1 through 3. I'll read those real quick. And so recall, Jesus, I believe, especially in the Gospel of Luke, when he opened the scroll and he read, and this was the time in which he's reading and proclaiming about himself. And he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, and remember, Pastor Steve's been talking, greatly about the suffering servant, right? And so now, keep that in mind, that this is the suffering servant speaking, okay? And so the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to who? To the poor. And then he has sent me to do what? Bind up the brokenhearted. So wait a minute. I just hope that's a hopeful news for us this morning. Hearts that are broken. Hearts are indeed broken. But God says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And then he goes on and says, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Can you imagine John the Baptist wondering, okay, what about me? Because I hear that you have come to set and proclaim freedom for the captives, but yet I'm in chains. And so why is Jesus sending this message, very message, to John the Baptist at this particular moment? And then he says, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort those who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion and to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be glad, called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. But again, Jesus is very intentional about the messages that he's sending to John the Baptist. He's sending him with Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6, according to our scriptures. But he's also sending him Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, in essence, through 3. And so again, as John the Baptist is going to receive this message, again, Jesus is saying, have you allowed your eyes to be open? Have you allowed your ears to hear that it is me? This is no imposter. Nobody else can imitate. This is me, whom God has indeed sent. And then he goes on and he says this, and this kind of took me for a loop for a moment. He says, but blessed, verse 6, he said, blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. Now that's a charge to John the Baptist. He's received this good news, but verse 6, he's saying, blessed is the one who does not fall away. Some of your translations might say, who does not stumble on account of me. This morning, my sisters and brothers, is Jesus a stumbling block to you? Are you stumbling on account of Jesus? Are you falling away on account of him? Maybe he has not met your expectations. Because to John, he has not met John's full expectations. Because wait a minute, if you are truly the one, I should be delivered. And Israel also, who is under oppression, should be delivered. So your people's not delivered, and I'm not delivered. So I have doubts if you truly are the one. And can you imagine someone like John the Baptist doubting? I mean, that's the pastor. I'm just using it in our terms so we can understand. But can we be honest this morning that the pastor sometimes doubts too? Wondering, are you the one? Are you amongst us? And I'm not putting pastors on a pedestal by any means, but they receive a lot of news throughout the week. And it's not always good news. Oftentimes, it's one text message and call after the other. And you can just imagine, there's some situations where it's just like, Lord, where are you in this? Where are you in this? We testified and seen all the works that you have done, but where are you in the midst of this? And you yourselves, I'm sure, at some level, maybe you haven't. Maybe you have not gone through anything. Maybe you have not gone anything to really test your faith to the point where you begin to doubt and wonder where God is. And Jesus is inviting us as he is inviting John as well while in prison. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. My sisters and brothers, I'm just being just real and uncut this morning. There's things in this life that can cause us to fall away. There are some situations, there are some stories, there are some things that just comes up and you just wonder, man, God, where are you in this? I can't see your hands in this. Lord, make this make sense. This is a season of joy. But Lord, I'm not feeling that this morning. I know you are joy in my mind. I know you bring joy. I know you bring comfort, but Lord, I'm not, that's not where I'm at today. And I just need to know that you are still joy. I need to know that you are still peace. I need to know that you're still merciful. I need to know that you're still gracious. I need to know that you are still God who sits on the throne. Because Lord, I'm doubting and I'm wondering. And Jesus does, and I love it because Jesus does not allow John the Baptist and Jesus does not allow you or I to stay stuck in that place. He's not condemning John the Baptist for doubting, for questioning who he is. It's almost like he embraced it, if you will. But I encourage you, don't stumble on account of me. Because a lot of times when it doesn't seem like I'm working, when it doesn't seem like I'm moving, trust that I am. Trust that I am. That in this season of your life, trust that I am. I am he. And then he sends the disciples off, John's disciples back. So John would receive this word, and I'm sure that as they are going, this is a rejoicing time for them, just of the word in which they've heard. And then Jesus began to talk to the multitude. So he sent the disciples away. Now he begins to talk to the people. Because remember, if you look back at verse 1, it says he's instructed the 12 and he went from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. So this is Jesus teaching and preaching. So he now uses this opportunity as an opportunity to teach and preach. Because I can imagine the people are now doubting. If John is doubting, then you might not be the one. So it's almost like here we're seeing Jesus assuring the people or reassuring the people, wait a minute, I know there can be questions. I know you are probably wondering, who am I? Because this is a big question. Who is Jesus? Who is this one? But again, John the Baptist is doubting. He sent them away. Jesus turns to the crowd and he says, what did you go to the desert to see? We just read in chapter 3, John the Baptist was in the wilderness and the people came from all different places to see and hear about John the Baptist. They went to be baptized by him and confessing their sins. And he says, what did you go to the wilderness to see? Why did you go? Some of those who are here on Friday night, we talked about the Magi. I won't go into the story, but the question is, why did they come? Why did you come? And he's questioning them, why did you come? Why did you go those miles to seek John the Baptist in the wilderness? Did you go to see a reed shaken in the wind? And again, I'm not just repeating it for the sake of repeating it, because you see it here that Jesus is repeating it. Why did you come? He says it again. And if not, why did you go out to see a man dressed in fine clothing? We know that's not the truth. Because John the Baptist wasn't dressed in fine clothing. What did he have on? He said what? Camel's hair. Yeah. And a leather belt around his waist. And what else? Yeah, but he didn't look all that good. He wasn't glamorous. That's really the point. You all are correct, but it wasn't glamorous. And so he's questioning them, well, did you go out to see someone who is dressed in fine clothing? A person who's dressed in fine clothing is in king's palaces. But that was not John the Baptist. And so he again says, no, those who are dressed in fine clothing. And then he says, so then, what did you go out to see? So now you're starting to see the intensity of Jesus' message to them. Because they're doubting. They have doubted at different times who John the Baptist was. They questioned who he was. They wondered at times, was he the Messiah? Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? I think it's, are you Jeremiah? And John the Baptist says no to them at that particular time. So they're doubting. They're wondering who John the Baptist really is. And then there was times where they completely didn't hear to John the Baptist's message. And then he goes on and he says, then what did you go out to see? Verse 9, a prophet. Yes, I tell you, and much more than a prophet. Now, I don't know if you've missed this, but I never thought about John the Baptist as more than a prophet. But Jesus says, I tell you, yes, and much more than a prophet. And then he goes on and he says, this is the one in whom it is written. So now you're seeing how John the Baptist truly is the fulfillment of that which was spoken. And so if John the Baptist, this is good. If John the Baptist is truly the fulfillment of that which was spoken, then the one in whom he prepared is what? He's the one in whom that which was spoken. So he's using, in essence, confirming John the Baptist's ministry. And also at the same time, confirming what? Who he is. Because if John the Baptist is who he says he is, and he's preparing the way for me, then I am who I say I am. And he goes on and he says, I will send my messenger before you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, I believe. And it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. And Jesus goes on and says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But yet, one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And like this is a real confirmation of who John the Baptist was. Confirming his ministry, confirming his words, confirming that which he said. Because what does the scripture tells us? Is that if a prophet's words or message is not fulfilled, then that's a false prophet. And here it is, Jesus is saying, no, John the Baptist was the real deal. And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, then great. But if you didn't receive his message, then I know you're not going to receive me. And so he's witnessing to them at this particular time, so that they might be reassured, and that in the midst of troubled times, they too might have hope. So my brothers and sisters, as we transition and conclude, Sister Charlene, Sister Alex, would you all mind come and sing Joy to the World? Because that is indeed what Jesus has indeed brought this morning. And so as we just conclude to today, just may we continue to keep that in mind, that in the midst of our troubled situations, that Jesus is indeed our hope. Amen. Hope. He's hope to the hopeless. And so we thank the Lord this morning, and we pray again for those who are indeed going through troubled times today. Mm-hmm. And just pray that as your brothers and sisters, and that you know that we are indeed continuing to lift you all up in prayer, and that we trust above all else that God can indeed see you through this situation. Yeah. And let's pray. And we'll go before the Lord and have communion and transition from there. So, Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. This day, Lord, that we indeed rejoice. Mm-hmm. Lord, for you are indeed our joy. Yes. You are indeed our source of strength. You are indeed the one who continues to make a way. Father, there are many today who find themselves like John the Baptist, doubting, questioning, wondering, maybe even wavering a little bit, wondering, are you the one? And if not, are you the one, where are you, Lord, in the midst of my situation, in the midst of my family situation, in the midst of my friend situation, in the midst of the life of others. Lord, where are you? Lord, I pray that they would know the comfort that only you can indeed give.
Yes.
Pray that you would indeed bind, as we heard in the song, broken hearts this morning. Father, that you would indeed not only just set them free, deliver them from their situation, but Lord, that you might indeed meet them where they are. Because oftentimes in life, Lord, we're so quick to want relief from suffering, want relief from the troubled times. But Father, in the midst of troubled times, we realize, Lord, that you are indeed up to something. And Lord, we may not know that which you are up to, but Lord, we know that you're up to something. So Lord, our expectations might not always meet your expectations for our lives. Lord, we oftentimes see and have visions in the way in which our lives should go. But Father, may we humble ourselves to what you're doing in this season of our lives. And Lord, there's many here that are probably trusting. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them. Pray that you would continue to give them boldness and faith to proclaim and witness in the midst of troubled times. Lord, that their faith don't waver, that they would continue to stand firm on who you are and what you have indeed called them to do. Father, I thank you for each and every brother and sister that is here, those who are online, and just, Lord, ask that you would have your way in and through their life. And Lord, as we come before your table this morning, may we indeed be reminded, invited, to come to the table, Lord, with broken hearts, being accepting the invitation, Lord, that you have indeed come and will indeed come again. And so, Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.